Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when you return to the haunted house of your childhood and discover the new owners have been living with the exact same things?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sure is. And if you have a real ghost story, you can share it with us. It's very easy to do. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down by going to realghoststoriesonline.com. And wherever you are listening, we would appreciate it if you would subscribe. It's very easy to do. You could do that like right this minute. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon is here today.
Oh my God, I've had that happen.
Right? I was just going to say that. You have gone back to the childhood haunted house of your youth.
I will not.
I don't care to.
Well, I just drove right up, knocked on the door and said, hi, my name's Kathy and I used to live here. Can I see your house? And they were like, yeah, sure. Come on in. And I did. And it had changed immensely.
Yes.
And one of the things that's interesting is they weren't the people that did all those changes. They moved in after whoever had it changed it. And so I was able to stand there and say, there was a window here. There was a door here. This was the dining room. This was the kitchen. This was this. And they were fascinated by that I could tell them the original layout of the house.
What is so weird about that house is the picture of it in my mind, what it looked like. And I think I'm picturing it the way it was. We found a listing for it on Zillow, I think, or Realtor.com. I don't remember. It doesn't look anything like the house I remember. It looks so different.
Well, it looks so different. And there was an open air kind of back screened back porch area on that house, which is not there now. I think, if I recall, someone had like they'd taken it over and made it into a room and, you know, walled it in and stuff. And so when I said there was a window here, they were like, why was there a window there? Because there's a room on the other side of it. And I said, because there wasn't a room on the other side of it. And they were like, what? And I said, yeah, that was a porch, an outside porch. And they were like, oh. And which leads me to wonder where the hell the root cellar went. But that's for another day.
Because it's got to be there. And it just seemed... And like, so I just pulled it up. They put brown siding on, which is very strange.
Because it was a Victorian white house. It was built like in 1906 or something.
Like they changed the windows. Like there was a big picture window in the living room. Now it's the same on both sides, which looks really weird. They put a little balcony on the upstairs. So a walkout from the master bedroom. So there's a little sitting area outside up there. And it even seems like they lowered the porch. Cause I remember, cause when I'd go to Brenda's next door, you would jump off the side. It wasn't like you just one step down. You had to jump down. Now it's all flattened with the, it's so strange. It doesn't at all look like the house we lived in.
It looks very different. And so that was interesting.
Now I'm looking at the back of it.
Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So after we moved out, they changed it to two apartments. And so there was two windows from bedrooms on the backside. Now there's just one. And then they turned it into a garage where that the cellar and everything was. So it's just weird. It just looks so different.
But the weird part of it is, it's weird for people just to look at me and go, sure, come in. And it was weird. It was like they felt like they wanted to. And they, as I got in there, I felt like they wanted me in here so they could talk to me about this house because I knew what this house felt like. Mm-hmm. And so as we went around the house, I'd tell them where everything was. But then at the end of the house, the woman, at the end of the little tour, the woman said, did anything ever happen to you in this house? And I said, you mean like ghosts? And she said, yeah. And I said, yeah, but I'm not going to tell you about it because you're still living here. I said, when you move out of this house, you know, let me know. I'll tell you all about number. It. But and she just kind of looked at me, but yeah, it was kind of like, okay, I can go with that. Like I had given her a reassurance that she wasn't crazy, that there was something weird in this house, but I wasn't going to make her unnerved by my weird stories.
But by what you just told her, if that had happened to me, that would have unnerved me a lot. Like, oh, it's so bad she doesn't want to tell me.
Well,
that's the way it could be,
but you know, I just didn't want her to lay in bed thinking about these weird stories I told her.
And now her mind is going to be racing. What could the weird stories be? Was there something demonic in this house?
I think it validated her though.
Okay.
Where she went, okay, I'm not going crazy.
Well, this is...
Now, with that said, I'd like to sit down and talk to her about it.
And I think it would be really interesting to compare notes. I probably, if it had been me, which I won't go back in there, in part because I don't want all the dreams and everything to start up again, but I would have been really curious to hear what she had to say. If that confirms my own stories, if there's any similarities. So I don't know. So here's the story. This is from Jim. He emailed it to me. You know, y'all can email me anytime you want, carol@realstorymedia.com. But it says, my first 4 years we spent in a house in Ithaca, Michigan. I lived there with my five brothers, one sister, my mom and dad, and my grandmother. It wasn't that big of a house, but we had to make do. All but one story is what I was told by my brothers and sister. I was still a toddler when we moved, but I still remember so much about that house. The layout was that when you entered the house, you walked into the dining room. To the left was a big coat room. If you walked to the left and straight ahead, you walked into the kitchen. If you took a right turn, there was a bathroom. If you walked into that house, to the right was a living room. That was sectioned off in the middle, so my grandmother had her own space. When you walked into the living room, just to your left was a set of stairs to the upstairs. At the top of the stairs was a bathroom. You would take a right, walk down the hallway to two bedrooms. The bedroom on the right was my parents' bedroom. As you walked into it, there was an attic to the right. The bedroom on the left is where my siblings slept. This is weird. The bathroom upstairs had a presence in it.
There's
two things about this story that Kathy is going to be like, what? And this is one of them.
Yep.
The upstairs bathroom had a presence in it. It always seemed like a shadow figure was standing there looking out the door. We always went upstairs to bed together because we had to pass by it. We used the bathroom downstairs before bed. Same.
Yep. So, absolutely.
Then listen to
I used the bathroom downstairs
all the time.
Like, I never wanted to do the upstairs.
About 1 a.m. every morning, we heard footsteps coming up the stairs. They always stopped at the top of the landing by the bathroom.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God.
It was our life.
I'm having PTSD.
Right? And there's another part of the story yet to come.
Oh, my God.
As for the attic, the door never stayed latched. One day, one of my brothers dared another one to go into the attic. Well, kids being stupid, he did. The minute he walked in, the door slammed shut and the light started going on and off. It wasn't electrical because he saw the light switch moving up and down. After about 15 seconds, the light stayed on and the door opened. My other brother was hunkered down on the floor in a corner, nowhere near the attic. As for my encounter with that attic, I was walking back into the room in the middle of the night. I'm not sure where I was coming from, but when I walked back into the bedroom, the attic door came open. The light turned on. I was frozen in place. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even scream for my mom and dad. The last thing I can remember happening in that house was my grandmother visiting my mother the night she died in the hospital. She told her not to worry, that she was fine. Shortly after that, we moved out of the house. You would think that was the end of that house, but we'll get back to that later. Then listen to this. This is in Michigan. We moved into a house in Alma. Not much happened, which is weird because that's where we live. Now, maybe in Michigan, they call it Alma. Could be.
Maybe.
I'm going to call it Alma because that's how the town we lived in was pronounced.
Well, that's how Nebraskans would say.
Yes. So Michigan might say Alma, but for the sake of what's familiar to me, I'm going to say Alma. Not much happened in it, except my brothers were playing with a Ouija board and the table lifted off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else happened for years. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We built a house and moved in 1973. Nothing happened in the new house until about 1999. I think that's interesting. My oldest daughter was born a day after my mom died in 1997. One night she was sleeping in my bed next to me and started screaming and pointing at the ceiling. Then she just stopped. My daughter and her mom lived with her mom and dad. My oldest daughter used to say that a man dressed like a woman kept trying to get her to go into the basement at night.
What?
Yeah. We had a second daughter in 2003 and moved into another house in Alma. That is when all hell broke loose, so to speak. As you entered this house from the mudroom, you walked into the dining room. On your left were two bedrooms and the stairs to the second level. On your right was the entrance to the kitchen. Walk straight ahead, you entered the living room. Off the living room on your left was a mother-in-law apartment. The upstairs was laid out so that once you got to the landing, you had a bedroom on the right, another on the left. Once you entered the bedroom on the left, there was a hallway that led to another bedroom. The bathroom was connected to both bedrooms on both sides of the landing. We had moved into that house because my kids' moms, mom and dad, moved in with us. In the beginning, I slept upstairs in the big bedroom. Grandpa moved into the smaller one. Downstairs, the kids shared a bedroom. Their mom had her own bedroom, and Grandma lived in the apartment attached to the living room. It started slow and innocent enough. One night, my two-year-old daughter was sitting up in bed in the upstairs bedroom. She kept pointing at the door leading to the hallway and laughing. I asked her if we were alone, and she shook her head no. I asked if she wanted it to go away, and she shook her head yes. I rolled over, looked at the door, and said, "Go away." My daughter laid down, went to sleep. One day, my kid's mom was going to take a nap upstairs in the small bedroom. Just as she was dozing off, she heard shh in her ear. At this time, Grandpa and Grandma had moved out, and I moved downstairs into the mother-in-law apartment. It started escalating one night when my oldest daughter was sitting on her bed reading a book. She heard a noise behind her, turned around, and saw a man dressed like a Mennonite standing behind her. Maybe their ghost likes to dress up in different things.
That's strange.
He introduced himself and asked if she had seen his wife. She said no, and then he just faded away. I asked why didn't she yell for me, and she said she knew he was a ghost. She had watched a lot of ghost shows with me when she was little. At that point, she started sleeping with her light on all night. I asked her why, and she said because when the light went out, the people in the closet started talking to her. I had seen enough ghost shows to believe her, so we let her sleep with the lights on. One morning, she told us that a little girl was standing outside her window, called her name, and asked if she wanted to go to her house to play. She told us she closed the window and ignored her. About this time, my other daughter, who was about 4 years old, started sleeping with a Bible in her bed next to her head. She had a full-length mirror hanging in her closet. She had to have a light shining on the closet because she was afraid of it. I offered to put a door on it, but she refused. At the time, we had three dogs, a golden retriever, an Australian shepherd, and a chihuahua. They all slept in her room between her and the closet. Well, this went on for years until my oldest daughter turned 18. At that point, her grandmother became sick and had to move back in. My oldest daughter moved into the trailer her grandmother had moved out of. Grandma moved into the apartment again. I moved into my oldest daughter's room. My daughter's advice to me was, never sleep with the window open. This is when my problem started. I woke up one night and saw a giant spider on the wall. It wasn't a regular-sized giant spider. It was enormous. I jumped out of bed, turned the light on. It vanished. This started becoming a nightly event. Sometimes I woke up and saw dark orbs flying through the air, hitting the walls and splattering on them. One night I saw a big baby with a huge green head climbing on my ceiling. Another night I woke up to a gnome sticking out of the wall and it slowly faded back in. At that point, I started looking up night hallucinations. I figured it might just be hypnagogic and hypnopompic hallucinations, but I never had them until I moved into that bedroom. After my daughter moved out, she came over every night to visit, and she still had problems. A woman showed up on her front porch and kept running back and forth yelling, "Fire!" She could see it, her sister could see it, and her mom could see it, but I couldn't. Okay, I'm trying to understand that one. So the daughter moved out, she came over every night to visit, and then one night, that woman showed up on the porch, everybody could see her but him. Okay. We started getting three knocks on the door. We would check the camera. Nobody there. I had to walk my daughter to her car because she said the man she saw when she was younger always stood out by the road. I finally let her park closer to the house in my spot, but I still had to stand by the door until she left. After a few years, Grandma passed away. That left four of the seven people who had originally moved in. We had three believers and one skeptic. The skeptic would soon become a believer. I moved back into the apartment. You would think that would have been the end of my problems, but they got stranger. One night I was going to sleep and something slammed into my bed. I still had the orbs smashing against the wall. The three strangest things that ever happened to me were these. I woke up one night. There were two circus clowns having a taffy pull in my room. That's unexpected. Nobody expects that. I awoke another night with a portal on my ceiling. The last thing I saw in that house was a shadow figure leaning into my bedroom and then just going back into the living room. We had a housekeeper. One day she just up and quit. She said she felt someone rush up behind her when she was cleaning upstairs. The skeptic became a believer one night when she woke up and saw two old ladies having a conversation in the middle of her bedroom. The next night, she saw the lady on the front porch. Around this time, she needed something sewn, so she asked if I would take it to the lady. I'm not sure who the lady is. I said, sure. She handed me a piece of paper with an address on it. She started telling me how to get there. I stopped her and said, I know exactly where this house is. Ah. Pulling into the driveway, I was a little nervous about what I was going to find inside. As the lady let me in, I looked around to take it all in. It looked like I had stepped back in time. So this was the house he used to live in. I swear they had the same wallpaper in the dining room. Their table was in the exact same spot we had ours. The only things that were different were that the wall was down in the living room and the carpet was different. I informed the lady that I had lived there as a child. She found it interesting and asked if I would like to look around. I said, nope, I'm good. I stood there and chatted a little more, and then I said I had to leave. And as I was turning for the door, she asked if she could ask me a question. I said, sure. Her question was whether anything weird had happened when I lived there. I asked, like what? Not wanting to lead her into anything. She asked if we had to keep closing the attic door. I said, yes. She then told me they had just ended up padlocking it shut. She asked about the footsteps and whether the upstairs bathroom creeped us out, and I told her that it did. After that, I left. I've been in and out of that house many times since. It still creeps me out. A couple of other things that happened in the house we lived in. I'm not sure which one. Must be the second one. One night, my youngest daughter had some friends staying overnight. I was in my apartment when my daughter came in and asked if I could check out the old bedroom that my oldest daughter and I had used. Three of the girls swore they saw a man look around the corner. One last thing happened before I moved out. My youngest daughter started seeing a young boy standing just outside her bedroom looking in. He would never come in. He said his name was Connor. She said she would sometimes see Connor standing in different rooms of the house just watching her. A few nights, she said she would see people milling about in the dining room. She had a full-length mirror hanging on the wall in her closet. I'm not sure what started the argument one night over it, but her mom told her to get rid of it. She had a bad feeling about it for a long time. Well, my daughter refused, so her mom got up, took it off the wall, carried it outside, threw it into the trash bin. The mirror broke, and you could hear the scream of a woman. It was very cold out, but it didn't make a breaking sound. It sounded like a loud scream. She had no more problems with anything after that. I also didn't have any more hallucinations while living with my oldest daughter. I moved out of the trailer, and my youngest daughter moved in with my oldest daughter after we sold the house. She says it still feels like Connor's with her, but she can't see him. She sees shadows of people outside the trailer and sees a giant black blob in front of the trailer, but she feels like it's protective. I didn't have anything strange happen to me after moving out of the house. Well, I should say I hadn't had anything up until I contacted Carol on February 16th. It's me, Carol. Since then, I've had three more. The portal has appeared over my bed again. I had ice cream dripping from the ceiling. That sounds like the clowns are involved with that. I had a lady with a big stack of $100 bills standing by my bed. I grabbed for them, hoping that was real. I'm still waiting to wake up and see my favorite supermodel standing there. Now let's get a few things out of the way. No carbon monoxide leaks. We had detectors. I was not on drugs. And I don't think Satan was involved. That would be for Tony. Sorry this was so long, but I know Carol doesn't like cliffhangers, and I don't. So how much of what I said do you think was hallucinations, and how much do you think was paranormal? Also, do you think I had an attachment from going into that house? That's from Jim. I do think some of it could have been hallucinations, because some of it all kind of makes sense to me. It seems like, now we are talking two different houses, and the one with the attic, I think that was all paranormal. Attic doors opening, shutting, lights on and off, phantom footsteps. Okay,
yeah, let's talk the first house.
Yeah.
First. I'm with you. Whatever was going on in that house, I felt like super paranormal. The parallels between where we lived and that house were kind of amazing.
I know. I thought so, too.
Going up the stairs and then to the bathroom. We had the same thing. The only thing I would add to that is they had to walk around a banister down a little hall to get to the bathroom. But it was like the same thing, walking up the stairs at night into that creepy ass bathroom. So that's weird. Then there was, it seemed like there was something else that happened. The light on in the attic. Was that it?
Right. The attic door would shut.
And the attic door was opening a lot and stuff like that. My dad said there was a similar thing that happened in our house, but it was the cellar light would come on and you could see it around the door. It's weird. The parallels were really super strange between that house and this one. And now I'm taking it, the first house he grew up in, correct? There were so many things to these stories. I'm trying to keep it all straight. Yeah. But he grew up, or at least spent several years of his childhood in that house, correct?
Yes. Then I think he got older. They moved into a house. And I think he has an interesting relationship with his wife, or the mother of his kids, because he never refers to her as his wife. So I think they co-parented, because he would talk about moving into a room himself. I thought maybe they're still kind of living.
together. Which I kind of think is cool.
I do too. I think it's wonderful for the kids.
Yeah, if that's, and you know, if that, if we're reading it correctly.
And it helped the grandparents cool. out. So in the first house, they were helping the grandparents out. So I really appreciate that. But I think, so I think the first house, 100% haunted. I think it's really interesting that he went back there as an adult. Then I think they moved to Alma. He says, he said, we built a house and moved in 1973. Nothing happened in the new house until 1999. So that's kind of confusing to me. What would have changed? Like, well, did something
now there was the
house?
Mirror issue. Did somebody bring the mirror in?
Doesn't it just sound like a regular mirror in the closet?
I'm just wondering if the mirror itself, they, you know, it was broken. They heard a scream or whatever. I'm wondering if that started because something was brought into the house.
Well,
that
it just
had
seems
something
like a long
to
time to go.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I guess to answer your question, Jim, do you think something was attached to you from that other house? I don't understand what the why well, the void of years then.
Right. Then they moved into it yet a different house.
Okay. Okay.
So in 2003, they had a second daughter, moved into another house. That's when all hell broke loose. So I think the middle house, not a ton of activity, but
okay,
then.
Yeah. And the mirror is in the newest house.
Correct. The new house and the house he grew up in definitely seem haunted to me. But I do think there are some things at the later house, you know, he lived in with his kids. Mm-hmm. I think that were paranormal. There's some of it that could have been a hallucination. Like, because they say with those hypnopompic and hypnagogic hallucinations, it's just, it's kind of like what happens is you, your brain is still asleep, but your mm-hmm. body woke up. So you're still kind of in a dream state. So you mm-hmm. can see something like the clowns or the ice cream mm-hmm. dripping from the ceiling, maybe even the large spider. That could be all associated with a dream. And you wake up and you see it mm-hmm. and it seems quite real because it's mm-hmm. taken that split second for your brain to get caught up. But then there are things that happen in that house that I definitely feel like was paranormal. You know, the daughters were seeing things, seeing apparitions. And, you know, like the one daughter seeing Connor and then she feels like if Connor might have followed her. Maybe. But I also think it could be almost a PTSD thing that Connor might not have followed her. But it's really hard to let that feeling go. That you're being watched. Because I get that. That happened to me. I had a problem with just not ever being able to sleep comfortably because something could wake me up in the middle of the night or something could go walking around the house. And so that took a long time.
You know, I know I'm going to go out and sound a little bit funky here, but just bear with me. Could we have a combo? Something paranormal is in the room, right? Some a shadow figure or something more traditional. I think where I draw the line a little bit are these entire storylines, right? That you have clowns that are doing taffy or women with $100 bills. Like they're almost like little vignette stories. And I think, what if there's something in the room that's creepy, but you're half asleep or you're in that weird dreamlike phase. And so you just appoint a storyline to it. Like we do in dreams all the time where something is really happening in the house. The phone truly, your phone truly is ringing, but you make a whole dream about a fire alarm going off. And then you realize, wait a minute, no, that's my phone, you know, or something. I'm wondering, because that room seemed to have, there were these things. I'm wondering if there were things, but that Jim is such a deep sleeper and a vivid dreaming sleeper that, yeah, there's something creepy in the room and he senses it. So he just has this weird hallucination of it being a spider. But there possibly is something that's causing him to have this, these weird visions. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's a little bit of both.
I think some of that stuff, like the clowns, I could almost dismiss that because you can't really explain it. So it could be what you're saying. It could be one of those sleep hallucinations, which are kind of going to be pretty similar things.
Which, like I said, like I think maybe it's like a combo of sleep hallucination. And maybe there is something in the room and you're sensing it and it's making you dream these bizarre things.
But I just think that enough happened in that house. You know, when he did some debunking, we don't have any carbon monoxide issues. I'm not on drugs. So I think that I definitely think an answer to his question, I think you could have some sleep hallucinations going on. But I do think a lot of what was happening in the house was definitely paranormal. And he said, do you think I had an attachment going into that house was his other question. That's hard to say because the attachment wasn't just to Jim. There was other people experiencing it too. So I think
I don't think so. I think there was truly a haunting in the house. The girls were seeing figures. Right, that's something that's really there. They weren't asleep.
I think
she saw it in the doorway.
I think he lived in haunted houses.
Yeah, I do too. I really do. Now, what was there a mirror that had something going on? Could have been. You and I are kind of creeped out by mirrors, so I think that's possible. What do you think about, like, drawing the line, like I said, between these weird, like, storylines a person would have? Like, the clowns and the taffy, the woman with the $100 bills,
Those are the ones that I'd almost not even focus on.
The ones I think would be the hallucination ones.
Yeah. So right? I think for Jim's sanity, you could dismiss that. And go, okay, don't know what that was. That was weird. But there's enough paranormal stuff that I feel is separate from that.
I agree.
And like you said, you can go, when you're living in that environment, you are going to sleep in a weird space every night, a weird headspace.
I agree.
So that could all be connected to a dream state.
Yeah, I think we shape sometimes a dream around something that is actually happening.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I found that to be very interesting. So Jim, thank you very much for writing that in. And if you have a real ghost story, we would sure love to hear it. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to be a premium subscriber, you could do that. You get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, and you could sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories, thanks for listening.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.